Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 50,000 jobs, a big boost to the region's tech ecosystem, development of underutilized parcels. I mean, you've heard Massachusetts Amazon boosters talk about all the great things that could come if the e-commerce giant made its second headquarters here. And look, don't get me wrong. All of that could most certainly be true. And by the way, the deadline for cities to submit their bids to Amazon is on Thursday. But I'll be honest, I don't think we've been talking enough about what the potential downsides may be to having Amazon here, or even if there are any downsides. And here's why. Full disclosure, okay? You've probably heard me mention this before. I actually grew up in the Northwest, Oregon specifically, but I'm old enough to remember back when Seattle, home to Amazon's current world headquarters, was this awesome, rainy Northwest gem. A city whose greatest gifts to this Gen Xer were coffee, salmon tossing at Pike Place Fish Market, and Pearl Jam. But now, much of Seattle is unrecognizable to nostalgic visitors such as myself, because according to the Seattle Times, the city gets to call itself America's biggest company town. Amazon owns an astonishing almost 20% of all the high-end office space in Seattle, which is great. But it also brings along things such as apartment rents in Seattle this year are 63% higher than they were just 7 years ago in 2010. So we wanted to get some straight talk from Seattle itself, the prime, the not so prime, the truth about what it's like to be home to Amazon. And joining us to help us out is Peter Robinson, projects and investigations reporter at Bloomberg. He used to be the Seattle bureau chief as well. Welcome to Radio Boston, Peter.
Thanks for having me.
And I just said your last name wrong. Peter Robinson. Is that right?
Robinson.
Robinson. Okay. Third time's right. A charm. Sorry about that. But thanks so much for joining us. And also with us is Joni Balter. She's a longtime Seattle journalist and a columnist for Bloomberg as well. Joni, welcome to you.
Hello there. How you doing?
It's great to have both of you. So you're both joining us from KUOW in Seattle, a station that I love. So thanks, KUOW. But first of all, can I just extend the Amazon metaphor here a little bit and get from both of you, if you were to give Amazon a 1 through 5 star rating for what it's been like to have Amazon as the biggest company in town for Seattle, what rating would you give it?
Ooh, I'll go with 3.5.
Three and a half.
To be friendly, warm, and one of those Seattleites that embraces big companies. And there aren't that many.
There aren't that many. Okay. And Peter, you were going to give it 3.5 stars also?
Yes, because I think you have to fight against NIMBYism and the Seattle freeze and recognize all the good things, which starts with lots of jobs.
And the Seattle freeze for we Bostonians, meaning what?
Meaning the fact that Seattleites need about 5 years to warm up to you before you can become friends with them.
And they're not going to do it during the big dark, which is about to start today, because they can't see you beyond their, rain gear.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it takes Bostonians about that long, too. So maybe this is a match made in heaven. Who knows? Okay. So 3.5 stars. I have to say I think that's a fair assessment. So give us... we've been talking already here in Boston a lot about the potential upside, the jobs, the six-figure salaries, the development, et cetera, et cetera. But as I said earlier, what are some of the things that Seattle has struggled with? I mean, the company has exploded in the past 7 years, especially. So what's that done to things like housing, Joni?
Armageddon is one word that we use for it. So Seattle has changed dramatically. So the downside, a lot of cities, as you said, would do backflips to have Amazon come there. And that's what the genius of their nationwide search for HQ2 is. But there are some downsides. They've built more than 20 buildings. They occupy more than 38. 10 million or 12 million, depends on which day you ask them, square feet of office space. So what we're around here mourning, and the reason why there is a little freeze toward Amazon, is the sense that we're losing the Seattle that you described at the top of this segment. The diners, the dive bars, the funky places, giving way to soulless, overly precious foo-foo places.
Well, so South Lake Union, where Amazon's Seattle headquarters are, I mean, what was it like before the company moved in?
Well, so I worked in that neighborhood at the Seattle Times. I mean, it was, and there was supposed to be a park there. Paul Allen wanted to put a park there, but the voters turned it down twice. So what was there was, you know, car lots, parking lots. I used to park in one of them and run down the street late at night after one of those really short shifts at the Seattle Times. It's pretty empty. There was daycare there, trophy shops. I mean, it wasn't much, but now it is filled with buildings and apartment buildings and traffic and all the stuff that annoys people.
Yeah. So Peter, though, I mean, I'm hearing what Joni's describing and thinking there are definitely neighborhoods around Boston that feel exactly the same way today when you're describing the South Lake Union of pre-2010. But on the other hand, you know, the shiny new one that you have there with all those millions of square foot of office space also have a lot of really well-paid employees who I'm seeing a lot of them live within, you know, walking or biking distance. So hasn't that been good for the Seattle core, Peter?
It has been good, and you shouldn't romanticize South Lake Union because it was kind of an in-between neighborhood. But the thing that's different about Seattle is that it now feels like you need a lot of money to live here. And so if in Boston, you know, if you're asking what should Boston expect, I think if you have a good job, if you own your house, if you live not too far from work, then you'll be fine because you won't be hurt as much by rising prices. It'll be easier for you to get to work. Traffic is another big thing that's changed here a lot. It's much harder to get around the city.
How much
and
harder?
That's partly because of the construction. I mean, many a street. We feel like we live in one big construction zone here at this northern part of downtown. You can't get around, you know, and the, you know, streets are blocked because we're building a new building. And as you said, not everyone is a winner in the Amazon economy.
So about traffic, I mean, how much harder is it for, especially for people who aren't, their destination isn't Amazon HQ?
So I've doubled my estimates for all the travel times that I used to have.
Doubled.
And that works on some things and it doesn't. Sometimes you're just really stuck if it's like peak time. It changed.
And a lot more people ride the bus. However, Amazon also gives free bus passes to their employees. So the buses are also more crowded.
But also the buses, as we've read recently, sometimes pass people waiting in the rain because they're just simply too full. They can't unload anybody else.
Wow. Okay. But okay. So maybe there's a flip side here that we should be looking at. What kind of corporate citizen has Amazon been? Because a lot of times, you know, maybe some of the promise is you bring in a big company. Well, I guess you didn't really bring in Amazon, right? Like it grew there. But as a big company has a bigger and bigger footprint, you know, are they supporting transportation infrastructure? Are they putting money in to make the schools better? I mean, has life in Seattle overall improved in these other ways?
Well, so one thing, I wrote a piece for Bloomberg about this, about are they a good corporate citizen? Are they philanthropic like some of the other folks here, like the Gates and all those kind of folks? And the answer is, I think the fair answer is that they are getting the better end of the deal at the moment in terms of philanthropy. Former Mayor Norm Rice said, I don't see Amazon's aspirational goal for being a philanthropic leader for the region. It's still forming. Although, to be fair to Amazon, and I really do want to be fair to Amazon, they have stepped that up a bunch. So their real estate guy, their global real estate guy, recently joined the chamber to just finally connect with this city. Because some of this angst, I guess is the right word, had to do with they were here, they were big, and they wouldn't talk to anybody. But this real estate guy joined the chamber. They invested in something called Mary's Place, a shelter for the homeless. Mm-hmm. They give away bananas on the street corner just to make you smile and eat your banana. So they now announced that in one of their many buildings, that Mary's Place, this homeless place, will for families will have a permanent residence there. They are trying to step it up.
I see. Okay, Peter, your thoughts.
I think that's right. They have made, especially in the last 2 years, great strides in their outreach. But they have been behind in traditional philanthropy. And something that I noticed recently was that I went to the ballet and I turned to the corporate donor page. And there at the top is the benefactors you'd expect, Boeing and Microsoft. And then if you look really hard, you go to the 2,500 to 9,999 section, there's Amazon next to Benbridge Jeweler. So they're still, I think, developing what their philanthropic contribution to the community is going to be.
Right. Now, you know, of course, Boeing is still there, but it doesn't have the giant footprint that it used to have in terms of its impact on the Seattle economy. Microsoft, still there next door in Redmond. So, I mean, it sounds like in comparison, Amazon as a corporate citizen is doing okay. So, I mean, does that mean that we here in Boston ought to be feeling pretty good about that if, I don't know, for some reason we're lucky enough to get Amazon to come here?
They're sort of slow to adapt, as was Microsoft, by the way. Microsoft, for a long time, had the same playbook. They were distant, aloof, and uninvolved, but then they became completely connected to the city and the region and completely involved. Mm-hmm. So it takes a little time, like we said earlier. I wanted to add one other thing. One of the things that people really, really lament about this prosperity bomb, as somebody called it, is the decline in diversity in our central city. So we have a neighborhood, maybe you're familiar with it, the Central District.
Yeah.
African Americans are being pushed out of the central city, and it's once affordable neighborhood.
And do we know if that's correlated to Amazon being there and it's, I don't know, 40,000 plus employees?
So, yeah, so they have 40,000 employees, but think about the multiplier effect of that. So it's not just 40,000, it's, you know, families that are coming.
Yeah.
It's delis, dry cleaners, and the rest of it. And yes, it's not fair to blame all of this on Amazon because many other companies have come here, tech companies, and collectively they are driving up prices so much. I mean, housing's like doubled almost. And the prices are too high and people are not able to afford it. So longtime Seattleites are being forced out.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking back to your 3.5 stars here, because I do think it's very fair. It's like not either good or all good or all bad. Because, I mean, looking at some other numbers here, again, the Seattle Times has done some terrific research on this. The Amazon itself estimates that it's brought, what, some $38 billion to Seattle's economy over time. It's a huge number. But then the Seattle Times also says that South Lake Union, again, where Amazon is located, has seen $668 million in infrastructure improvements, but only about a sixth of the cost has come from private investment and the rest from ratepayers and public funds. So, but overall, like, even that little mix there, is it a net good because the growth is still happening?
This is such a balancing act as far as I'm
yeah.
concerned. You know, Amazon is the largest private employer, the largest property taxpayer. City coffers are full. State coffers are full. So that's one side of it, right? But on the other side is this Seattle, this city that worked, I think we have to say. We used to say it's a city that works, and now it's more of a city that kind of used to work. So that's you're balancing all of that.
Well, it used to work because why?
Because you could get around. You could get from point A to point B without having an anxiety attack. Now it's completely different, all of that.
I see. So certain fundamentals have really changed.
It just feels like a much bigger city. I moved here 18 years ago, and it was, I'm sure it's the city you remember. It's the funky craftsman houses
yeah.
and the bohemian neighborhoods. And now it's much higher rise buildings, and the restaurants all feel like they could be in Dallas.
Hey, you told me before we started taping what's being built right next door to you.
A concrete box, 3 stories tall. That is these neighborhoods that were these sort of hippie neighborhoods. We had a lot of prayer flags in our neighborhood, and there's a house that has a word of the week, a new dictionary word every week. And I noticed last week the word was pelf, which means pilfered ill-gotten gains.
Oh, dear.
So that may be someone who is not part of the Amazon prosperity bomb.
So there's complexity to this story here, and that's why I really wanted to talk with both of you and I really appreciate it. We got like 15 seconds left. My director's looking at me like, don't do this to me. But I mean, if there's one question you think Boston should be asking Seattle about wanting to come here, what do you think it should be? Joni?
What do you wish for?
What do you wish for?
And be careful what you wish for.
Well, Joni Balter, longtime Seattle journalist and Bloomberg columnist, thank you so much for joining us today. And Peter Robinson? Robeson.
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 Thank you.
I'm so sorry. Peter Robeson, projects and investigations reporter at Bloomberg. Thank you so much as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
And listeners, let us know what you think about what you heard about Seattle's experience. Send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.